Praise God. Well, I have been doing a series of teaching on looking for the Messiah. And I said when I started doing this, the Lord's been dealing with me this year because of, well, one of the things that He said to me back in 1987, He spoke to me and told me that because of a sermon I'd ministered, that was before, because in 1987, Wanda and I moved to Oklahoma and to attend Rhema Bible Training Center. And a lot of years have passed since that time. Things have gone by. But I was ministering in a church, and the Lord gave me a sermon. But one of the verses was from First John. Speaking of the return of Christ, it said, those who have this hope purify themselves. And one of the things that the Lord said to me about that, He said, when it's time for me to return, He said, that's going to be the main message of the church. He said, my return. They're going to be talking about my return. That'll be the main message. And He spoke to me even into last year about time to moving into that direction. It's time to start stepping into that direction. We're dealing in the last time preparation on things, looking for this Messiah. And it says that those who have that hope, they purify themselves. And one thing the Lord showed me is the church in general, there are people within the church world who do, but the church in general doesn't have that hope, because we can tell by the lives Christians live generally. They're not purifying themselves. They're not even moving in that. In fact, many are moving in the opposite direction. It's because of that hope is not there. And we need to understand the reason why those things exist is because the body of Christ is not going to rise to anything that's not preached to them. And you can go today, you know, we have all these, you go on television, you listen to ministers and stuff, and they're not getting people ready for anything. They're not getting, you know, if we look at, what has the church world done in general, what they call big names and stuff, what have they done in general? I mean, they never even saw the COVID thing coming. They never saw any, I mean, most of them, they never even saw that Trump was going to lose an election. They didn't even see it. They saw nothing. But they gave wonderful prophecies. And the prophecies were really sounding great, but they didn't come to pass. It didn't happen. So what's the good of it? You know, we're sitting around saying things and doing things. And this is one of the things that I've been very concerned about. It's like, you know, you guys know, I mean, back with the last presidential election, everybody saying Trump was going to win. Somehow inside of me, I just could not get over onto that. Something's wrong. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was wrong, but I just couldn't jump on board with what everybody else was saying and doing. There was something inside of me, in my spirit. And it's one of the things that I am so glad that I had the privilege of sitting under Kenneth E. Hagin and learning how to be led by my spirit. Because I found this out. I don't care how big of a ministry people got him. You know, you can grow things today without God at all. Being big has nothing to do whether God's in it. If it is, if that works then, well, I mean, my words, I mean, all these billionaires out there, they must be godly as crazy. And all these, you know, I mean, the Muslim religion must really be godly because it's big. And we don't judge it by that. As we as Christians, we're called to be led by the Spirit of God. It's like you've heard me say so many times, I got born again 1980. January 1980, I got saved. A month later, the Lord spoke to me and said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. 20 years later, He spoke to me and said this, most of my people have amounted to nothing. You know, I'm not telling you, they're good people, nice people, do nice things. But that's not being led by the Spirit. God wants to direct us. God wants to do more and reveal more to us than we even know or understand. He blows my mind all the time because He, you know, ought to throw me under the bus years ago. And He don't do that. God's view and how He looks at people is one thing as I learned over time. God judges by the heart of an individual. And one of the saddest things people don't understand, there's many Christians who have put wrong things in their hearts. And their hearts, their own hearts, are deceiving them. their own hearts. These people prophesying. I believe they're prophesying out of their heart, but it's their heart. It isn't out of the heart of God. It isn't what God said. They're prophesying what they put in themselves and not what God put in them. You need to understand. You put your heart, you can put what you want in it. You can put whatever you want in it. But it would be good to find out anything you're going to put in it that the Holy Ghost is agreeing with you on that. That's what you want to find out. And one of the things, there's not a one of us that hasn't missed it. Not a one of us. But when you find out you missed it, you repent and get it straight right away. You don't just let things alone. You don't let them go. You repent. Turn from it. Keep your heart before God in really very a very humble way. You know, He's right and you're wrong. But keep yourself in that position where you're changeable. You keep yourself tender, that you find out if you're wrong, you move away from it. You can easily be changed. See, too many people, people get very religious. They get very stringent and God can't teach them things. You know, they think they know you arrive. It's one thing, as I've learned, you've heard me say this hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, when I learn something new from God, all it does is open me up to 100 more questions, because I begin to see a new truth, and it's like, well, if this is true, then what about this? What about that? And so you see more. And we're on a road, like, since I went to Rhema, you know, I have been in school more since then than I was then. See, people think, you know, the people I was out against, you know, you want to quit learning? You've already died. Go home to be with Jesus. You're dead. You know, you're just walking around here doing things. We don't ever quit learning. We don't ever quit. You know, there's so much glory to be understood and known. As I often thought about it when Kenneth Hagin made the statement to us one time, he said, I'd hate to think I'd die this dumb. And then he looked at us and said, what about you? And I thought, oh, dear Lord, he's right on that one. What about me? Hallelujah. See, all we accumulate, we know, but you keep yourself. I wouldn't know what I know if it wouldn't have been for Him. If it wouldn't be for God, you wouldn't know it. If the Holy Spirit didn't live in me and revealing things to me, I wouldn't know. I didn't gain it by being bright. I didn't gain it. Grace, the great teacher, Grace, teaches us. The great teacher, Grace. God's merciful and kindness toward us is phenomenal. And you know, I'll just encourage you, keep a heart in that. It isn't, you know, God doesn't respond to you because you're so perfect. He will respond to you because your heart's open to Him. I know people who know a lot of stuff, but they can't get things from God. And their personal relationship with God isn't really that good. And it's because they're not humble toward Him. They don't keep themselves in that place where He can teach them and where He can say, man, they don't stay in that place of, God, I need you. I tell God all the time, God, I need you. I don't know what to do. Lord, we're living in a mess in our nation. And we don't have many wise among us. But Lord God, you're among us. You're the wise one. Hallelujah. You're the wise one and you're among us. What do you have to say about the situation? What do you say about what's going on? Well, I'm going to talk to you this morning. It's a little different than I had the message planned for this, because I have not been, I don't push concerning from year to year to get some kind of message for God for the next year. I'm always just on the point of God wants to say something to me, fine, you can say it, because there's a lot more that I need to know, and we can figure this out. There was a lot more that we needed to know than hearing some prophet writing another book and doing another thing and saying another stuff to us. And so I haven't been one to, I don't do that. Yet times God speaks to me about things, and that sometimes things I talk about, sometimes I don't. Sometimes things are be said and sometimes they're not. Well, on Christmas morning, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and I was just, I do this many times. I just sort of wake up and I'm just sort of wide awake. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm wide awake. And what I do is, you know, this might help you out some. You know, one of the things that is at nighttime, when I wake up, if I'm wide awake, I don't sit there and fight to try to go to sleep. You make a big mistake doing that, because you close the door on a wonderful opportunity. You see, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you have been quiet. Your body's been quiet for a while, for a period of time, and your mind's been quiet. And that's a good time to hear what God's saying on the inside. When I wake up in the middle of the night like that, the first thing I do, I start talking to God. I get myself over because I'm quiet. My body's quiet. I don't have a million other things going on. My mind isn't thinking about other bunch of other things and stuff. And I would say at least half the time that God gets a hold of me really good about things is during the nighttime. I wake up during the night and God speaks to me about stuff. And so when I wake up, because I just have learned to yield that, things at times that I'm quiet away from other things. Now, you might have other spots in your life like that, certain things that you do that bring you into a quietness. You know, I find out sometimes things get noisier to me when I'm over really trying to pray and seek God than they are over here in some of these things when you're not. And God will talk to you. But I found out it's really a good time because you're quiet. Your body's quiet in your mind. Well, so I was just, I was laying there and I just started talking to God. I just praise Him some and worship Him. And just really clearly He began to speak to me. And there's things that, you know, He said that are wonderful and good, but yet there's other sides of things that are very troubling because when I look at people that aren't listening and paying attention. And one of the great troubling sides of it, that we have a lot of leaders today in the church world, they're not paying attention. We have doctrines that we preach in the church, and we preach them, and we really emphasize them, and they're wrong. They're a partial. We teach things that there's a part truth to them, but we preach them like they're the whole truth. When there's other things that need to be added to that. And we tell, sometimes, half-truths. And the body of Christ is full of half-truths. We get a part of a subject. I've noticed it, like when I was growing up, you know, spiritually, I'd get a truth about something, I would just think, man, I got it now, you know. And after a period of time, God would give me another revelation. I'd see, oh, I didn't have that there, did I? I had a piece of it. But I didn't have all I needed to know about that. And this is why it's consistency in the areas of learning. God will work with you wonderfully, walking in the knowledge you have. I've learned that over the years. If I only know a half truth about it, but if I walk in the knowledge of that truth that I got, God will bless me. Now, I can't just go camp and live there and act like that's going to be for the rest of my life, the whole thing, because after a while, that'll fail. You won't stay with it. It'll fail you. You've got to keep learning. You have to keep learning. You know, if you get a kid and your child only learns how to halfway tie his shoe, if you stop there, he'll be tripping over his string still for the rest of his life. And we need to understand God's not a fool. And so we get part truths, but we keep going and gaining knowledge. There's always more to learn. But anyhow, I woke up. He began to speak to me, and he talked to me about this year coming up. But I want you to understand, what I'm going to talk to you about is, it doesn't have to do specifically with this year. It's what the church should have been doing. But he's emphasizing to this year, people better, in other words, people better get on with it. It is no time to let go. Now, one of the strangest things that I had in this thing was, you know, there's times that when God speaks to me, there's sometimes He's speaking to me, He'll come sort of more really like sort of just informational, giving me information. And then there's sometimes, you know, He comes like a bit like a friend talking to you about something. And He comes to you in different ways. This is why you have to learn to know God. He has a personality. He's not this dead monotone thing that talks. He's just like a human being. He can come and talk with emotion. He can come and talk. Well, he started talking to me, and all as I could think about when he was talking, it was so much love and care and tenderness about people. In fact, it seemed to me it was a little more out there than I've ever heard him speak in the way that he did about people. But one of the things that really bothered me about it is the fact that he said if the Christians don't, and people in the world, the Christians and the people in the world, don't make some changes, they'll never know me in this way. They'll never know me like this. You see, we need to come to one thing. You know, we talk about a move of God, and we have the God side of us, and we have the idea that if a move of God comes, it's just going to change everything. And no, it's not. People determine the change that'll come. We do. We will make the decision. There's one thing as I've learned from Jesus, is my decision will determine how far I will go. My decisions do, not His. He can tell me what He wants to do, but my decisions will turn out whether or not we'll cooperate with that. Either I want to cooperate with Him, but if I don't, no matter how much He wants to reveal His goodness, kindness, tenderness, and mercy to me, I may never experience any of it. I may not experience it. It isn't that He didn't want to give it. He wants to give it. And so our decisions in doing things. Now, in starting off, one of the things I want to say to you about this, that because He gave a rebuke to the church. And because he talked to me about the things, because sure that he knew that I was listening to him. He said, there has been many prophecies. He said, many prophecies over the last years. That's not just happened just over the last couple years. He said, ministers are prophesying and saying many things that do not come to pass and do not happen. He said, they're saying many things. And he said, some because they only prophesy in part. They're bringing out certain parts of what I'm saying, but they won't, you know, they don't like certain parts. You know, we got this positive and negative thing that's killing the church. You know, shall I tell you how bad it is? I was just online this week because I was looking up some things on a prophecy that Brother Hagin had said. And I was looking up, and in that prophecy, there were some things said to the church and to Christians, God's plans and purposes, but also there was correction in this thing. So this guy, and I don't mention any names, but anyhow, he's not at Rhema anymore, but years ago, he used to do editing and stuff in Brother Hagin's books. Well, he had a thing posted online concerning this prophecy, and he said, now, I'm going to talk to you about this prophecy, but we're going to ignore the negatives. This is what he said. We're going to ignore the negatives, so we're only going to talk about the positive side of it. And I thought, he's a guy you need to quit listening to immediately. He's a guy who's a problem. He said, came up under Brother Hagin. But see, this is today. That's all this so-called positive. You know, Paul told Timothy, who was a pastor of the church at Ephesus, and told him one of the things he's supposed to do is rebuke. You know, we don't have that today. That's not positive. Don't rebuke. Well, I'll tell you what. You'll either get rebuked by somebody ministering, or God will rebuke you. Or if you don't hear it, you and the devil may be living together for eternity. There needs to be some awakening in the church-wise. God corrects us because He loves us. That is a teaching that does not come across in the church. There's a truth that people don't want. There's the truth that people don't want. It's more blessed to give than receive. That we throw out on the sideline. It's always more blessed to get. We're always looking to get. We don't realize the fullness of the glory that's in some of these revelations if we would take them. I'm going to tell you what I've learned this over the years. One thing is I love Jesus for is He's always honest with me. He's always honest with me. If I don't deserve a pat on the back, I don't get one. He don't give me trophies when I ain't earned it. But you know what? Because of Him, I have grown. And I live in a life that I only ever dreamed of. It's because of that. See, when you want fluff Christianity, you're just going to stay a baby. You're going to be the whiner sucking on your thumb, stealing other people's bottle, you know, doing something. But see, we need to walk in the glory that God has supplied for us here in Christ Jesus. We need to walk in this glory. Don't be afraid to hear the hard things. Don't be afraid to go through the hard things. There's nothing wrong with you because you've went through some hard things. You know what? I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Great faith comes through great trials. And he said, if you haven't gone through any great trials, you don't have great faith. And I found out in my Christian walk, that's exactly true. That's why some people don't grow up. Every time a hard trial comes, they run off. They go do something else. They won't walk through it. They won't go through it. You know, we want this Christianity where my faith changes everything so it makes it easy on me. No, it don't work that way. Good soldiers learn to fight well through tough battles. You don't become a tough soldier listening about other people's stories about being a tough soldier. You don't get to be a tough soldier reading books about soldiering. You got to go out there in the battle. And you learn about it. And when I got born again, you know, I had been in Vietnam and things. I came back and the Lord said, I'm going to take your military training and I'm going to teach you how to walk by faith. So I had to learn to walk by faith. My God made me stand by myself. He had never allow me to ask somebody else to pray for me for something. He had never allowed me to. He said, you need to learn to stand. And I thought, he is mean. He is tough. He is hard. But you know what he told me years later? When we started the church, he said to me, he said, I did that so you can teach people to how to walk by faith because you've done it through experience. He said, most ministers have never experienced it. They teach what they never do. They teach from the Word what they have not experienced. They always got to use somebody else's story. They always got to tell what Smith Wigglesworth did. They always got to tell what this guy did. I tell you, I got my stories. I know about walking by faith. I've learned some things. I've faced death. I've faced things. And see, you'll never beat my experience. Knowledge never beats knowledge and experience. It always wins. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you, that was all free. That's good for us though. Hallelujah. But we're learning. And this year coming in, one of the things that we missed, the Lord said to me about dealing in the areas with prophecies and prophecies. He said, I'm going to hold the Christians accountable of accepting prophecies that I did not say and they went along with. He said, I'm going to hold them accountable. He said, because every believer has the Spirit and they are supposed to listen themselves to know if God is saying. He said they have no right to complain about others when they haven't listened. They were supposed to check for themselves. See, we have today, people follow people. They're following people. Now, there's nothing wrong. Thank God. There are gifts of the Spirit in the church. But I just want you to know this. I have never met a prophet, not one prophet, who is right all the time. I've never met one. Kenneth Hagin wasn't right all the time. Now, he'd tell you that. One of the great problems the Lord told me is, though, is these prophets that are wrong will never admit they're wrong. They just go on and on. This is one of the great dangers. Here's one of the things that the Lord dealt with me before about and talked to me again about is the fact of one of the bad things in the church world, we preach a false doctrine that you can always correct things. You can always get things straightened out. No, you can't. There's nowhere scripturally teaches that. Nowhere in scripture teaches it you'll always correct everything. You know, there wouldn't be any reason to walk right if you could just always get that. But see, we preach that thing. We take that God is merciful and God is kind. And the Lord said this to me. And I mean, it was such a tender way he talked about it. When he said to me, he said, many people will never know my tenderness and my mercy. He said, I have it for them, but they're never going to know it. He said, many of my own people are never going to know it. Because he said, some have gone too far. And he said, they'll never yield to it. And he said, they'll never know it. You see, you could go to the point of no return where it doesn't matter God doesn't want to reach you. You can't turn around. You have trained yourself to head your direction and you become so stubborn in it. You cannot be turned around. And you know what God will do? He'll quit dealing with you. God will quit dealing. We need to understand. It's a biblical principle. You know, just think about Kenneth Hagin. When they talk about Kenneth Hagin's prophecy, which I talked about before, his prophecy from 1950, saying, well, many of my people won't be ready to meet me at my coming. They're not. You think God's not going to be drawing? But you know, the Bible also talks about people who have gone out too far, and God turned them over to a reprobate mind, so they would believe the lie. There's another. Well, we don't preach that. That don't sound so good. That's not positive enough. You know, it's very interesting. I was born and raised in the church during the healing revivals in the 1950s. And you know one of the things they used to preach back then? And you heard it often. Don't keep putting God off. He may quit dealing with you. Oh, us great faith people today. Oh, no. Oh, no. It'll just work and it'll just work. I remember it's a story. It just broke my heart. And Brother Hagin talked about dealing with a woman who was dying. And he said, she had rejected Christ and spoke against it so much. He said there was no way to reach her. He said, and she was going off into hell and she knew it. And she was just in anger. She was in terror and everything. And he said, you couldn't stop it. There was no way to reach her. Ramus cut a lot of those stories out of their things. They don't put them in their stuff anymore. They don't use Brother Hagin's ones on there because they don't fit positive message. See, I'm tired of the positive message stuff. You know, some people just need to get the hell scared out of them, or they're going to end up there. Do you know there's people who will not go to heaven if we don't just tell them downright the terror truth? You can tell them all night long, Jesus loves you, won't move them at all. But see, we have this one track Christianity mind. But God's not one track mind. He's not at all. God's looking at how He knows the hearts of each person. He knows what moves people. What we got to do is find out what He knows about moving people, less about what we think we know about moving people. And we need to pray. People are in a terrible situation. He spoke to me. He said, there's Christians, he said, that will not change. And he said, I can't change them. He said, I've tried to change them, but he said, I've let them to themselves. And he said, they will not be changed. He said, things will just stay the same with them. Now, he wasn't saying that to be mean. He was just telling a fact of truth. And I thought, oh, that's horrible and terrible. He said, I never override a person's will. I never override. I don't ever go past it. He said, till a person says yes. You know, we have in the book of Revelation, we have the church at Laodicea. Jesus says that he's standing at the door and knocking. Now he said, you know, in other words, anybody that answers the door, he said, I'll come in, I'll fellowship with you, answer. But if they don't answer the door, he don't go in anyhow. He will not go in. Jesus will not respond to you without you inviting him to respond to you. That is a spiritual law. The devil forces his way. He tries to push. God does not operate that way. He never will. Without your consent and will. And that's why the Lord has been speaking to me so much about this, you know, dealing with these things. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. He said, it's up to people. He said, unless they ask, unless they knock. He said, no matter how much I want to reach across there, I will not. They have to want me. They have to desire me. See, if you desire God, man, just keep it up. You don't want to lose that. See, people lose that over time. They get away from God and they lose the desire for the things of God after a while. And what they do is they come along and they want God to respond to them when they are not responding to Him. Understand in the earth, the Lord told me this years ago, and He says this to me often, that we are the ones, we're the initiators. See, the church preaches the exact opposite. God's the initiator. Other than salvation. But you know, man's wanting God is what moves God. Faith is about me taking a hold of God. Not God taking a hold of me. It's about me grabbing God so God will grab a hold of me. But we initiate it. He'll put His word out there, but till we respond to it by faith and Craig take a hold of it, it doesn't do anything. And there's a real predicament in the church world today. People are not being led by the Spirit of God. They're not being led by what's on the inside. They're being led by what's around them. Or my life's pretty good and things are going real nice. That's no measurement of spirituality. The fact that things are going good. I mean, what do we say about, you know, a guy in China being persecuted in prison because he's a Christian? Oh, he must be backslidden buzzard or something, you know. If he was like just us nice Americans here, we would. We got all this stuff messed up in our minds. We don't know. We don't know. We live too much on the visual side. We live on the visual side. You know, as I made mention about knowing your own heart, I was talking with Ken was talking to me, Kasi, Ken and I were speaking about some things, and I said about knowing your own heart. Most people don't know their own heart. Most Christians don't know their own heart. They don't know what they're really like on the inside. Because, you know, we can put wrong things in our heart. Well, do you know that? So you need to come in contact with your own heart, what's in you. God knows your heart. He knows what you are and what you're not. He knows what you're really believing. You can tell people you believe something, you really don't believe it. But you can tell people you believe and you can convince yourself that you believe it, but may not at all. Don't produce. See, loads of Christians talk things and say things that never produce in their life. There's one thing about it. Your spirit will always try to bring to pass what is in your really in your heart. It'll always try to. It'll always try to bring it to pass. See, I learned these things by letting God deal with me about my heart. You got to learn to do that. By what's in there. You know, what's in my heart? You know, the Lord dealt with me in the areas of finances back in 2014. And when asking about, He began to talk to me about finances and about things and about what He wanted me to do. He said, you don't receive at the level that you give. So He wanted to change that. So He had to deal with me concerning my heart. And see, it's one of the things I found out. Is this, is God doesn't determine what your need is, you do. Nobody ever taught me that. I didn't learn that from Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin never taught me that I determine what my need is, that God don't. You know, they'd always say, well, you just go to the Word and you just, you know, act on the Word. Well, in a sense, that's true, but there's more to it than that. And so the Lord said to me, because I asked Him and I said, well, God, what is really my need? Because see, I've heard people tell, well, your need, what you really need is what you need is what you just need to get by with. That's need. Other than what you really need. Huh. So in other words, you know, if you wanted $1 million, that could never be a need. That could never be. You don't have a need for that. I mean, you could get by with less. That's the thinking. Well, the Lord told me, He said, you can't get by with less. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? What is it? He said, you have said, and He said, you have said it so much, and He said, it's in your heart, and your heart wants to produce it. But see, it wasn't producing because I wasn't cooperating with my mouth the way I should have been. He said, you have said in the Scriptures that you want to have so you can give to every good work. He said, if you want to do that, you're going to need a lot of money. He said, your heart wants to produce that. But he said, you've made that. He said, that's your need. You've put it in there. Well, we talked about it. And He explained some things to me. And I said, Lord, how far do I go with this? He said, it doesn't have anything to do with me how far this goes. How far are you going to take it? Well, that was different than people had taught before, you know. Because most of the time, faith things set limits. And so, all things are possible to him that believeth wasn't really a true statement in the Bible. Oh, we said it. We said it. See, it's your need. And what is it? Where are you building the areas of the needs of your life? See, you got to know what's in your heart, what's inside of you. I remember Mike and Darlene, remember they were going to build their house. They built a beautiful home. But before they built it, they were considering, maybe we're getting too extravagant. Maybe we ought to build something less. I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't know what was happening. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, you go tell Mike and them if they build a house less than what they want, I'm not going to be in it with them. He said that home they want is what's in their heart. And if they want to walk by faith, they're going to have to do that one. Because he put that house in their heart. And their heart wants to produce that house. Their heart wanted to do that house. And what they were going to do? Well, we're going to go do a little bit less. Like, that was humility. No, it wasn't. That was unbelief. But you know what? The way we're taught about things, we would have thought we're being humble. And there was no humility in it. Their heart, and the Lord said, you go tell them to build what's in their heart. Because why? Without faith, you can't please Him. They could not have pleased Him building less than what was in their heart. That was extra. This is good teaching, folks. So it's good things for people to get a hold of. See, this is why you got to really know what's in your heart. This is why many people have desires that never get fulfilled. They never examine what's really in their heart. There's always that in the back of your mind, maybe I'm asking too much. Maybe I want to go a little too far. When I asked the Lord, I said, well, how do I go? He said, how far you go has nothing to do with me. It's how far you want to go. How far do you want to go? Oh, dear Lord. So I said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, my God, that is a true statement. That's not a cliche we put up in the things, you know, and have our little promise box things and throw them out there, act like it's cool, but nobody believes it. It's the truth. Hallelujah. See, God's better. This is one of the things that we don't realize. I never realized in Kenneth Hagin's teaching on the areas of the authority of the believer, I never saw it the length that that thing goes. That thing's this big and we've taken that much. And we thought we got somewhere. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, you'll have it. Oh my God. We were like little kids in a candy store and we just thought we got a little bag of candy. We hit it. Woo, we got a gold mine, you know. And I didn't realize, you know. But see, this is why half-truths are dangerous, because they never lead people to the full glory. They never lead people to the full glory. And I used to think, boy, God is really good. And then I came to the place and He's so much better than we preached Him. He's so much more glorious than we preached Him. And we had the nerve to come across with seeker-friendly gospel that is trash. It is nothing but garbage. Offering, putting God out there is something less than the glory He is. That He accepts sin. It's okay. Just go ahead and live with sin for He loves you anyway. You know, you don't have to really walk right. You don't have to live right. He loves you. Just take you the way that you are. He didn't take me the way I was. He asked for change. Oh, and I'm so glad He asked for change. I would never know Him in the glory that I do know Him had He not asked for more. He didn't want some of it. He wanted all of it. I'm still trying to hand it over. Sometimes that gets hard. You know, when you think you're reaching the point where you're really yielding, then He comes and asks you something else. And then you go, oh, here we go again. One of these fights of faith. Dealing with my flesh and my unrenewed mind. Oh my God, here we go again. But how, you know what? He doesn't lead you into condemnation over it. Because every time He takes us to these places, folks, it's because He wants to take us further. If you want more glory, He's going to take you to these places because His great desire that you know Him in this glory. And I want you to understand it. There is no glory without Him. God's not more money in the bank. God's not more of this or more of that. Our God is a glorious being. Our glorious Lord and Savior. There are ones that you want to get to know that you can sit and talk with. I mean, this one thing is, you might have God's stuff, but I want Him. God, what a treasure He is. His desire. There's three things that He talked about this year that the church needs to come back to. The first thing He said was visitation. He wants to visit people. Visitation. There's many Christians God doesn't visit with them. They don't open themselves up to be visited. Now, when I'm talking visitation, I'm not talking about, you know, some kind of supernatural manifestation of God. What I'm talking about is God coming, speaking to you, being very personal with you. It's on a level. This visitation is about personal fellowship. He's longing for it. There's been much that's moved away from that. He said visitation. I want to visit people. He wants to visit with people. Now, I want you to understand this. He talked about it. He said, talked about the Christian. He said, I want to visit. He said, this year, make my visitation, put it up front, personally hooking up with him. See, we should have been doing it before, but we weren't. That's why so much got out of hand. People weren't personally. Quit looking at a ministry gift to be the thing to take you there. You can go there. You don't need a ministry gift to take you to the place of wonderful fellowship with God. You can go there. Jesus saved you so you can go there. It's for you. He wants to come to you. We got to get this. We got to kick the stool out from under these people that put themselves on pedestals. And we have to have them. Thank God for the teaching gifts. But it's like the Lord told me back when we first started the church and we were meeting out on Birch Road. And the Lord said to me, He said, concerning the church, He said, I want you to teach people so they know me like you do. That's the whole purpose. See, we want to reach people. If you don't know God, you have nothing to offer them. See, we're supposed to, you're only going to go as far as your teacher. That's why I had a hard time at churches I went to, because the pastors never grew. When I started going out of church, when I left, they were the same darn thing as what they were. They never grew. They thought they arrived. Nobody arrives. You got to keep growing so you can pull people along with you. So you can take them somewhere. See, I got to go somewhere to take you somewhere. But the purpose is not to glorify me. It's so people get to know Jesus. It's about personal fellowship. The Lord said, we've lost that. He said, the church has lost that. It's all about listening to somebody else and their hookup with God rather than my own. See, I remember listening to Brother Hagin and when I first started off and he used to talk about, oh, God will move you through this, doing this stuff, and God will move through you. And I just thought, I want to know God like he does. See, that's what came across to me. But you know what? I went to Rhema. But a lot of the students that I went to school with, they just wanted to know Brother Hagin. They wanted, oh, he's smart and he knows. But they weren't the place, they didn't come to the place of, I want to know God. The whole point I was there is about God. It wasn't about Brother Hagin. He was a tool of God to help me get somewhere, to help me arrive at a point. He did a good job of it too. He did good. Hallelujah. But see, we have a problem today is even that people put people on pedestals, and what's bad about this is they put people out there. It's like with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin, I've heard him say this so many times to us. He said, if you'll listen to me teach, he said, you can learn the things that he said that it took me many years to learn. He said, you can learn them. But he said, you should go further than me. Oh, there's a lot of people in Rhema, they think Brother Hagin was the epitome of faith and everything. They don't realize we were supposed to go further. Now, if somebody sitting around talking about going further, oh, who do you think you are? See, Brother Hagin has become the measuring stick. Most Christians, they got a minister who's the measuring stick. I got a measuring stick I ain't even come close to reaching yet. His name's Jesus. Are we going to be working a long time to be that measuring stick? But if you'll hold man there as a man, brother, I will guarantee you and tell you this, and this is not being big head, because the things I learned from Brother Hagin, I know there's certain revelations that I have that he didn't know about. And I know why. It's not big head. It's our time. There's things that he needed to know in his time, but there's things we need to know in our time. And if you're only willing to accept the revelation of what these other people are just giving you, you're going to miss it. There's things that you need to know in this time. You need to know. And God will give it to you. He'll reveal to you. You don't have Holy Ghost, you know, I don't have Holy Ghost 2.0 and you got 1.0. That's the way people look at this stuff. It's like the minister is some guy out here and he just got to... No, you got the same Holy Ghost. He's the same teacher. He'll reveal to you just, I might have a gift and he uses that gift. But I'll tell you what, if he's a different teacher, I ain't found that in Scripture. Is there stuff hidden from the people? No. It's been hidden because of the way we think is the way we believe. You get yourself over, he'll reveal to you. The church is very ignorant about the return of Jesus Christ. We don't know coming, going, and leaving. If it'll be 1,000 years, 10,000 tomorrow, we don't know. And it's all built upon stupidity and ignorance of God, not knowing what he's like. We need to understand how important it is, the position that we're in as Christians. We're temples of God. God is living in us. We're not trying to reach a God out there. I don't ever pray to a God who's out there. He done moved in. We talk to each other. We got to get this trying to... Well, I'm the seeking God is like he's someplace else. Like he's... No, we're not... I know exactly where he's at. I know exactly where he is. I woke up this morning and yeah, he was there. My God, he's there just like he was the other day. See, there's one thing just we want God to manifest himself, which is good. But when we're playing this seeking game instead of the believing game, we're already playing behind the eight. We're behind the eight ball. We're over here after a God that's somewhere. The world is waiting for a people who know their God. Because the Bible says other ones are going to do exploits. He didn't say the people that are going to be seeking for God. I'm seeking wisdom from God. I'm seeking understanding. But I know where he's at. I know where he is. I know if I want to commune and talk with him, I know where I can. He's right in there. And he's not muzzled. He's not trying to hold back from me. He never is. I'm never trying to get him to talk to me. I've learned this over the years. He has spoken a lot more than I've heard. I've missed numbers of things over time. But it wasn't because he wasn't talking. He'll always reveal what you need to know. But visitation. Understand, it is so important, this visitation thing. He wants to be personal. Folks, God don't want you going to heaven being a dummy, a getting there and not knowing what your Lord's like. You need to know him in his glory before we need to get ready to meet him. You know, we're sort of like, you know, a bride that wouldn't know her husband, don't know who he is or don't know what he is. It's, you know, we're sort of, you know, and we deal with Jesus like that. You know, Jesus is going to come and, you know, we just, you know, we all just be glad we're going. But we're not his bride, we're his body. Does your head know your body? Does your body know your head? Well, see, when we deal over in Christianity, we don't deal on that level. Is that communion and unity? If the head and the body aren't working right together, it's a major problem. We're trying to have a Christianity without the flow in the body. You know, I've had friends and stuff, you know, that I met, you know, years ago and knew over time, you know, people in wheelchairs, people who didn't. I used to minister to groups that MS groups here in the counties here. I used to minister to people, have meetings with them. But you know, you sit down and their bodies were out of sync with their head. Their nervous systems were messed up. The body could, the head could think exactly what it wanted to do, but their body couldn't respond to doing it. There needed to be a unity between the two. There had to be a visitation of what was the head into the body. And this is what we're doing. We work right and we'll work well if we'll let Jesus visit us. If we'll have the desire to have him. Now, I'm not talking about just wanting something. There's a difference. Is there something, when I'm talking about desire, something you crave, something you really want. You know, if other things in your life are more important, you'll have whatever you support. You're going to do whatever you think is important. You'll spend time with whatever you think is important. You know, one church I went to, I was criticized because I spent too much time with God and not enough, they said, with my family. And their families turned out squirrely as crazy, and mine turned out good. Because I found out I needed God's help in my family. Most people have spent too much time with their family. And I'm serious. They have. They didn't have them spend enough time. You know, it's like the Lord said to me, you don't know how to act when you're with your family anyhow. He was right. And I learned not to argue with him. He was right. See, you visit with God. It's not enough to have the mind of Christ given to you. The mind of Christ is a person, Jesus Christ. It's a person. It's not just a way of thinking. It's a person. And that person can dominate your thinking. Oh, and how blessed it is when it happens. How blessed it is. Hallelujah. Taken over. We all know that. Like Mike said, you know, you get in trouble, you got to get over into the Word. You get over there on His side of the, you get in His side of the field where the game's being played. Changes everything. Changes everything. Hallelujah. The next thing He said to me is to tell people this year. You see, number one, you need to visit with God and you need the revelation. God revealing Himself to you. See, God's got to become real to us. You know, I was laying there in the bed, I was 4:30 in the morning and God's talking to me. I'm going to tell you, just as real. My God, He's speaking to me just as real. See, when God is real, He's more than somebody, a nice page, nice words written on a page of a book. That God can reveal Himself to you. He becomes real. Do you realize how many people, how many Christians that God is not really real to them? He's not real. He's just words on the page. He said, revelation. He said, I want to visit people. I want to reveal myself to them. I want to reveal. See, and anyway, He was talking to me there. He said, just like we're doing right now. He said, I'm visiting you. And He said, I'm real to you. I'm revealing myself to you. I'm revealing my desires. I'm revealing what I want. I'm revealing. I'm showing you. See, people, we were singing a song, we want secrets. Without a visitation, you ain't getting a revelation. He ain't going to reveal Himself. He's more than the God of a book. Hallelujah. He's bigger and greater than the book. When He talks the Word, it's greater than I read it. It's wonderful. The life that's in it. Then He said the third thing is manifestation. He said, I want to reveal myself to you and I want to manifest myself to you. That's what I want to do. He said that my people would do that this year and quit looking for somebody else to do that for them. Quit looking for others. He put gifts in the church. They may help us, but their whole purpose is so we come to the place of relationship and fellowship with God that we're supposed to have. They don't become our place of fellowship. They're not our place of worship. They're not what we need to come think. We need to visualize ourselves in a much different way. We see ourselves, you know, they're a minister and they did. We got to get that stuff out of our minds and stop it. People, so and so, he really did this. And look at Kenneth Hagin, all the things that God revealed to him. You know, all those visions and stuff that he had was all things to give revelation to you and I. Why? So we could know God. Not so we could say, wow, he was really something. And if anybody ever knew him, he wasn't like that to begin with. That wasn't the way he was. But people took it that way. We're looking at somebody else. I mean, I thank God for the teachers I've had over the years that have helped me. Oh, I thank God. But I know this, the teachers that have helped me the most have never looked at me and I need to become their follower. They were all people that presented God in a way that I could know God. That I could come to the place that I could walk with Him. And see, this year, we need to do that. This year, the Lord said to this, tell people this. He said, tell them. Doesn't matter what prophecies and what prophet says what. You don't accept it without knowing in your own heart that it's right. Is it right? Is this what I'm saying? See, God doesn't expect you to just up and believe somebody because they said it. You know, He don't mind if you take time to talk to Him about it and listen. You know, when something don't seem right to you on the inside, is one of the most wonderful things I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I was always so glad because he always said, you know, if it don't seem right to you, don't take it, don't receive it. He said, you know, wait to find out. He said, maybe you'll go along and find out it was right. But until you know, you don't receive things you're not sure of. We just gulp it because somebody said it. And that's how we've gotten into a lot of the mess we're in, is gulping of what people said and not taking to ourselves. Now, one of the things that the Lord said to do, and I'm not going to get into it today, so I guess I'm going to have to get into it next week on some things because there's numbers of things He talked to me about. But He spoke to me about the areas dealing with the church, is the fact of visitation. He wants to visit the church. But He said He's going to visit other groups. He said about the visitation. He said there, he reminded me something. And that's what I really always really loved about Kenneth Hagin. There was pieces of revelation that he got over the years that were really just helpful, good stepping stones into things. And he used to always say, you know, God will always visit hungry hearts. And the Lord reminded me, He said, there's loads of people out here that are hungry. And He said, they're in other groups. He said, many of them aren't even saved yet. And He said, they're more hungry than my church is. They want to know. They're seeking and they desire to know. And He said, I am going to visit them. He said, there's people in the church, in denominations, He said, that have been on. But He said, you know, there are people that want to know me. Look in the book of Revelation. There was not one of those churches that didn't have certain people within them. No matter how messed up that church was walking right with God. There was always people that He commended. There was always people that they were walking. See, He's going to visit, even though they're out there. You know, we might be sitting here, we might look out here today and say, well, you know, out here in the Lutheran church and this church, they're out here in this kind. But I'm going to tell you what, there's people within them. They ain't throwing God under the bus. They're still hungry for God. They might not know things that we know about God, but there's one thing that they have that many, even spirit-filled, don't have, is a hunger for God. They want to know. Next week, we're going to look at an example He gave me in the Bible that we'll look at, but we'll do that next week. But He said, I'm going to visit them. And He said, I'm going to visit these people. And He said, things are going to turn around hugely. He talked about people in the world. He said, there's people in the world out here. He said that the church looks at and criticizes and looks down on. But He said, they have a hunger to know what's right. And He said, I'm going to visit them. I'm going to visit with them. But see, He's not visiting those. And He said, I can't visit the ones who don't want me. I can only visit the ones who want me. We need to get that. A lot of Christianity has the idea that you get saved, just things, they're just gonna, you know, it'll happen for me because God said, people just wait for the latest prophecy for the year. Oh, well, they said this is gonna happen. Well, good luck. It never comes to pass. You know, I've always said the church is very much like the battered wife. You know, he beats her up, but way after the day later, he says, oh, I love you, I'm sorry, but I do love you and that stuff. And she says, see, he does love me. And that's the way we've been with preachers. They've messed a lot of things up, but they say they love you, so we just go back for another gulp, and they have missed it 27 times and never been called on the carpet for them. You know? The preachers, in America, the preachers are a lot like the doctors and the lawyers. They never turn each other in, no matter how bad they do. And the preachers in America are like that. They'll let some guy kill half the sheep and they'll sit around and watch and not say, well, I don't want to judge. Yeah. Say, you've already judged what kind of person you are. You hate the sheep and you love the wolf. We know. We can see. It's one thing as I learned over the years. I know how to kill wolves. And goats don't want to come around here butting. They'll be a big trouble. Because I know spiritually what to do and it don't work well for people. Over the years, I've had people drop dead because the Lord has told me. They came in along dealing with things and won't straighten out. End up dead. They die. I don't go after them, kill them, do nothing. And I'm going to tell you, I know how to turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. And they don't straighten out. It's number one. Too many churches, you can go in and get too many wrong spirits. Too many churches have too many devils in them. And they start at the head of the church. People need a safe place where they go to, where somebody has respect for God and somebody actually does care for them. And they ain't a dollar sign for the individual. They ain't no more than something to get a check out of so they get what they want. We definitely need love back in the church again and that stuff. The care of the flock of God. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of ministers. You know, I remember Raymond Tony Cook telling us, he said, there's a lot of ministers, he said, they love crowds and hate people. Boy, I found out that was true. You get in the ministry, you get hang around these ministers. Man, I was shocked to find out there's a lot of them out there like that. You know? They talk about the people in their church. You'd think they talk about just a bunch of heathens, but they don't realize you're the leader of it. If it ain't working, it didn't start on that side. It's because they got a heathen up front. Hallelujah. And see, we need to have a message for people out here on what to do. Not just some flowing. You know, it's wonderful to hear, you know, God's going to do this or do that. That's great. But what do I have to do? What do I need to do? See, this isn't something we do just in 22. This is something we do till Jesus comes. This is something we walk in. This is what, and we need this more than to hear the other stuff. Because without these things, the other stuff is nothing but words that will never come to pass. This whole idea, people get a prophecy, because you get a good prophecy, that means something good's going to happen. No, it don't. I can't make strong decisions and have good prophecies coming out. I got to walk in line. And see, we don't have it. If we had the correction coming out in the teaching and preaching in the church, people would know what to do when they heard the prophecies. But it's nothing but fluff from beginning to end. And the people don't realize, they don't know about correction. They don't know about these things. They hear, well, you know, God's grace because He loves me. He overlooks my stupidity. No, He doesn't. He doesn't overlook my stupidity because He loves me. Because He loves me, He corrects me. That's what the Bible says. But where are these other people? They've been preaching this stuff for years. Like, He overlooks you. He overlooks it because you're stupid. He overlooks it. Nowhere in the Scripture can you find it, but it's preached. You know, tell them the truth. You know, if I'm stupid, I know this. He'll correct me. Why? Because He wants to bless me. God is a rewarder. And that was the whole thing about the message. The visitation is about reward. The visitation, the revelation, and the manifestation, it's about reward. Why? Because God's a rewarder. That's what He is. God desires to reward, but there are things we have to come in line with. And I just, one of the things is, this year, become really a seeker of God, going after Him from the standpoint to fellowship with Him. That we need personal visitation with God. Not just on the words on a page. Thank God. I love the book. I read the book. I love the book. I love what it does. God speaks to me through the book. But I'm going to tell you what, if I would take all the times, like Christmas morning, I'm laying there in a bed and God just visits you. It ain't Fred Gibson. He wants to visit everybody. But see, what's your expectation? See, He moves in line of where our faith is and our believing is. He moves within our system. He's trying to get us to expand the system a little bit here. Get the system. You know, that, you know, you could lay there in bed in the morning and He will come and visit you. That He'll come and talk to you. Or whether in the afternoon or whatever it is. That is for you. That you hear from God. That Smith's Wigglesworth don't get all the good stories about God. That you have a bunch of good ones about what He did. It's like Wanda and I, we talked about it. I said, maybe we should have wrote a book. I said, we could write a book of the things we've had that God has done and the things that are phenomenal and that stuff. And I'll tell you why they happened. I was just so stupid when I listened to Kenneth Hagin. I thought God would move through me like him. I just thought He would. I hadn't got to a church right away to find out that most people didn't believe that. And when we started going to the first church we went to, I almost didn't want to go to church. Because we run into people been Spirit-filled for 30, 40 years, and they didn't know nothing. And they thought I was crazy. They thought something was wrong with me. I was this weird guy that, like, oh my God, he actually believes all this stuff. Oh my God. And then God would manifest to me, and they'd actually get angry about it. People would get upset. They didn't like it. Who's this young Christian? I mean, I'm only born again a couple years, and God's manifesting through me and doing stuff. And they don't like it. They don't like. I want you to understand this. You're going to see a lot of that in these last days. You're going to see Christians. You're going to see people that you come out, oh, they're talk spirit-filled. Yeah, but they used to be one spirit, but now they're another one. And they're going to be mad about God. They'll be mad because God went after the Lutheran guy over here and visited him. They'll be upset that the real heathen guy over here, God visited him. And they'll be mad about it. I'll guarantee you. Stuff never changes. It never changes. We always got the Pharisees. There's always the Pharisees. And the shame of it is, they were the word people of the day. God could move in Samaria and he couldn't move in Jerusalem. It's amazing. The ones the Jews wouldn't hang out with nor talk with, God could move. But they kill God over in Jerusalem. Don't be surprised, it happens in these last days. But I'll just tell you this is what is a prophecy, and it was from God. Kenneth Hagin prophesied that in the last days, and I heard him two times prophesy this at different years. The last days, the move of God. He said persecution is going to come, and he said it's not going to come from without, but from within. He said, but walk in love. Don't fight with them. Don't get in their battle. Just get so busy demonstrating the manifestation of Jesus. You just get so busy doing that. Because I'm going to tell you what, you're going to always have the rock throwers. You're always going to have the rock throwers. And they're going to be, and I'll tell you, we'll have some big name rock throwers. You know, they will. See, I remember back in the 80s, I remember some of the Spirit-filled churches in that day. They got upset because God moved among the Methodists and the Lutheran, and they were, if this move of God was really God, he'd be moving in our church. Well, God couldn't get in their church for nothing. He's standing at the door knocking. They didn't know it. They thought because they had religious beliefs that that was it. But they had no love. They didn't. You know what? See, they never had the visitation of God to find out his heart. You don't really run into God's character in its fullness till he visits you. See, I've read the book about his love. But I'll tell you what, his sweetness and mercy on Christmas morning was just something else. I told him, I said, I've never experienced you like this. I said, I've never, the tenderness and your heart for people to want to reach people, your great desire, and if people would just want you, that's all he wants. He wants people to want him. And if they'll open up and want him, he'll come visit them. He'll come visit them. See, in the book you get to see certain things, but there's another thing when you hear him. It's just like a person. You can write a letter to somebody and tell them how much you love them, but it's a whole nother story when you're in their face telling them you love them. Oh, he wants to get in your face. He wants to get in your face. He wants to get in your face. He wants you to know how precious you are to him. Not just in the book. Oh, it's wonderful. And I love that. But he wants to just tell you to your face. He wants to tell us to our face what we are to him in carrying out his plan and his purpose. He wants to tell you about the real glory that's in you that you didn't know about. And what you really are, and how valuable you are to his plan. That Billy Graham ain't more important. He wasn't more important than nobody. See, we look at people, and well, God doesn't view none of it like that. He doesn't view a bit of it like that. You're his. He died for you. He loves you. You're important to him. He hasn't decided to give, well, we're going to give this guy a lot of revelation and this guy don't over here don't. Well, if he does, then he shouldn't expect much out of us, should he? Now, I know this is Scripture says is number one, I stand in greater judgment because of the office I stand in. But it's not because of more revelation. It's because of my job. My judgment is whether I take the what is given to me, revelation, and give it to others. When I was a young Christian, I asked the Lord one time, the church we were going in, I said, because these people that we were with in church, revelation didn't come well. You know, we met Mike through the church, and it was so nice we could get together in fellowship and talk about things, but you couldn't talk about stuff to other people in the church. You couldn't talk to them about it. They had been around Spirit-filled for long, long periods of time. And the Lord spoke to me supernaturally and told me to go to that church and help that pastor with that church. And if he wouldn't have spoke to me supernaturally, I'd have never stayed. Ain't no way I'd have ever stayed because he spoke to me. But we would get together. But I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why do you give me so much revelation? I said, revelation comes to me so easily. I understand things. I said, it comes to me. He said, where it says given, it shall be given unto you. He said, when I give you things, you'll give it to somebody. See, so many Christians have done nothing but fill themselves with knowledge. They ain't telling nobody. It's all to them. Share this good God with somebody. Tell somebody how good He is. People need wisdom. You know, people need to have sometimes you grab up and say, don't do that. Don't do this or don't do that. They need somebody to stop and say, don't. Say, why? Give them the wisdom of why not. But we don't do that. Well, we don't want to cause trouble. Don't worry, you'll have plenty of trouble. You let the sinners keep living like hell, you'll have plenty of trouble. Hallelujah. Well, I hope some things got across to you this morning. You know, I want you to look at this. Don't look ahead. If you're hungry for God, the future we have. I almost feel like I could just reach out and touch Him. He's almost here. You know, I just might leave tomorrow. I don't know. I just feel like it is just so close. I just feel like it's just right here. It's getting so close. And I'm not doing any predicting. But you know, you get over in the Spirit, you touch into things. There's no distance nor time. And I just want to say to you this. Before Jesus comes, we're going to step into that place of no time and distance. Before He comes, the church is going to step into a place of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, we ain't going to be no earthly good. We ain't going to be no earthly good. It's all going to be about packing up and leaving. There ain't going to be no more bigger barns being built. Oh, there will be people. There'll be religious people building bigger barns. But we'll have this for sale sign on the house. We're leaving. We're out of here. We're gone. And we're stepping that place. See, we're coming into a place of glory. There's a change coming. And I'll tell you what, we're going to step into places where we're going to have, where that glory that we're going to be stepping into is going to start showing up on this side. It's going to start showing up on this side. It will only be natural. We're going to tell what's going to happen to us. We're just going to lose a desire for things in this earth. We're going to start losing desire for it. I already have that. There's a lot of things don't impress me no more. I don't care. I just don't care. You step over and touch the other side more and it's like, man, we're wasting our time. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody about things and stuff. It's not what I'm dealing with. It's not what I'm talking about. But see, if we're leaving, if we really believe that, then we're going to have to come in line with acting like it's true, or your faith will be dead, and you'll be one of the persons that will end up saying, yeah, we heard all this about He's coming back and all that stuff, but where is He coming at? Where is it going to be? It isn't enough to say something's true. You've got to act like it is. Faith without corresponding action is dead. That's why His return is so dead to people. It's all wind blowing. It's all talk. They're not acting like He's coming back. I'll tell you what. I can't think about Jesus coming back without getting a smile on my face. I can't think about His return or that. Oh, my God. Almost 20 years ago, I wanted to leave. I had certain experiences I had. And I know with Brother Hagin, when he talked about things, he said, you get over on that side. He said, you might not want to come to this side again. And you go over on that side, and it's so good, this side ain't worth spit. You can't compare. The best you've ever had here, it ain't. There's no comparison to it. There's no comparison to that glory. And I got over there. When I came back, I got over in the thing, and I looked on this side, and I thought, I don't want to be here no more. I don't want to be here. And I went on for some months of almost a depression about being here. It's like, God, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Somehow inside I knew I wasn't supposed to leave, but I started getting it inside of me to leave. Well, I got it inside of me, and then I started to say it to myself. I'm going to leave. I started saying it, and I knew this. I knew it without a shadow of doubt. I was going to leave. You know, they'd have said he died and something happened. No, he left. That's what's going to happen. And I wouldn't have stopped it unless the Lord got a hold of me and said, told me to knock it off and stop it. He said, it ain't your time to go. He says, there's things you need to do here. You stop it. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. I wouldn't have had to obey. I could have left. But I obeyed him. But I'll tell you this. If he wouldn't have said something to me, I'd have left. I'd have left. All this time I could have been over there. And here I am. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, there's glory over there. There's glory. See, visitation, revelation, and manifestation will bring that. Where you get to touch into that side. Where heaven, you don't have to look over in the book of Revelation to find out what heaven's like. You've done experienced it. You've experienced some heaven. See, God wants you to experience some heaven. That's what he wants you to do. More than the book. Hallelujah. That city over there, that's yours. That's your city. You ain't supposed to know about it and what it's like till you get there. Hallelujah. See, a smart person would never buy a house without checking it out. The Christians done bought a house and don't have a clue. All they know is Gold Streets. Heaven is not glorious because of Gold Street. It's who's living there. It's the glory of the one that's there. And you get in that glory, Gold Streets ain't worth spit. They mean nothing. It's his glory. Oh, my. Whew, let's stand to our feet. My God, I might take a busload up today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, saints of God, we have a wonderful end to look to. We have a wonderful end. We can tell people, you know. Kenneth Hagin, in his vision, Jesus told him, he said, we're supposed to ask people to invite them to go along with us to leave. See, we need a table. They don't have to, we need to tell them, they don't have to wait to get to heaven for a visitation from God. If they'll respond to him here, he'll visit them. He'll visit them here so they can know. They'll visit them. See, let's tell people, God will be real to you. I found this out. When I first started over the years of teaching, I got my teaching gift from Kenneth Hagin in 1983, camp meeting. Teaching gift came on me in 1983. And Lord dealing with me in the areas of being a teacher and you know, dealt with me in that concerning the anointing. And we need to know, you know, we're hooking up over here with this thing with God. Just God so much wants to reveal himself. If we have, you know, just like with here today, we are, you know, we're each of us are children of God. we belong to God. God in His revelation, God in His revealing, is showing Himself. He wants to desperately reveal to people. And we need to become so convinced in it. And as He said to me, He told me about teaching. He said, when you teach, see, this is why you need to experience, not just knowledge about teaching. You need experience. He said, when you have experience and you teach, he said you have conviction in your teaching. See, there's people that I listen to teach. They teach very well, but I don't really care for them much because they have no conviction in their teaching. They couldn't tell you if God would really do it or not. They don't know. They just say, oh, He will, He will, He will. Well, what's He done? Oh, we don't know. But we can tell you what He did with Smith Wigglesworth, or we can tell you what He did with Kenneth Hagin. You can only preach in conviction of God, which you walk with. You can't preach out of any other conviction of anything else. You can't. And He told me this, and it does work. He said, when you talk with conviction, He said, you'll grab people's hearts. That's why Brother Hagin could grab people's hearts so well. He knew the Word was true. He had manifestation of the Word. He knew it worked. And when I learned that, the great thing for me was, is like he said, Kenneth Hagin said this, he said, I never taught anything I didn't prove out. There's teachers and ministers today that wouldn't have a thing to teach and preach if they taught what they would prove out. They don't even know, they ain't got nothing to prove out. They ain't have anything. They're just giving out information. See, we need people with conviction. I know people in the pews today could preach with better conviction, could talk with better conviction than the preachers do, who know and have walked with God and know God, and they know personally God has manifested for them, and I'd rather listen to them any day than some guy out here just giving me more information. I've had all the information I want. I want life. Hallelujah. It's not enough. It's having conviction. Anything you need to understand, the things that you know about God, tell people, the things you have experienced with Him, you tell people because you can speak it with conviction. It'll grab their hearts. I find it does. See, I found out my experience in God, I could talk on a level I couldn't talk till I experienced. I know. You can say anything and say I'm wrong or anything you want. I don't care. It moves me not at all. I could care less. I don't have to prove nothing to you. I know. I know. I know. I walked in it. I lived it. I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we take naturally in life, it's like that. Oh, but the things of God you know. See, so don't ever put yourself on a level that some guy, because he's a preacher, is a teacher, this and that, somehow he got an advantage over you. I'm going to tell you, if you've experienced God and you know God from walking to Him, I'm going to stand up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You will have conviction. Just if you know, I'm running to people, just salvation alone has such change. Like me, my salvation changed my life so much. I had such conviction. I just tell people, they could say, they could sit and talk all their stuff. Man, because I had such conviction about my salvation, I knew it was true. I knew it was real. And you can speak it from that standpoint. I didn't have to sit down and try to figure it out in a book. I'm going to tell you, I done had it. And I could tell them what the book said, and I could tell them what they're going to experience. Hallelujah. And you have that. Hallelujah. You got experience with God. You got something. Hallelujah. You got more than a book learner. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank You today. Father, You're raising up a church. You're raising up a people across this land and around the world. Because, Lord God, there are a people that You have, that You've saved, and they're hungering and thirst for righteousness. Lord God, You have a remnant of people, Lord God, and they're after You. And they're after You. And I want to thank You that You're the God of visitation. I thank You that You're visiting with them. Hallelujah. You're showing up. You're revealing Your heart to them, Lord God. Lord, You're showing Yourself to them, and Lord God, in personal ways. that they have never experienced or known. Things that are going to change their lives. Lord God, they will never be the same again, Lord God. Lord, they're going to have a personal touch. Oh, Lord God, that You're more than just a God that indwells them. That You're a living personality full of glory. Hallelujah. And revealing that glory to them. Lord God, I thank You it's going to change their lives to touch others. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord God, the revelation that You're going to bring to them. Lord God, true and real life. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, that people will crave and desire for the visitation. Say, not, I want to talk to them about the one they have. No, I want to have my visitation with God. I want God to visit me. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Lord God. You told me, You said, You'll visit India. If they want You to visit, You're going to come and visit. Hallelujah. You're going to visit every hungry heart. You said, I'm going to visit them. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Father God. We're hungry. Oh, we thank You. And I want to thank You, Lord God. We're living in the days and the time of manifestation. We're living in the days of the time. Lord, back in 1952, You said that America, we have entered in the church world, the time of the miraculous. Lord God, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I'm in one. Hallelujah. I'm not waiting for something to come. I'm in the middle of one. And we're in the days of the miraculous. And our miraculous God is showing up. He's showing His face. He's revealing Himself. Hallelujah. He's raising up a people that are all just like as if Moses came off the mountain and the glory shining. Lord God, they have the glory upon them. Hallelujah. Oh, not a glory upon this one and that one. No, it's the glory upon them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Father God, we have stepped into a wonderful and glorious time. And Lord God, Your kindness and tenderness and mercy is going to be shown to anyone who wants it. Anybody who desires it and craves it, You're going to reach out into this world. And what seems like could not be changed will be changed in many. It looks like, oh, the ones that would have never listened will listen and hear the glory. Hallelujah. They will hear the words of God and come to the glory of God, and You will visit them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, we just thank You and praise You, Father God, in this wonderful day. Father, I am just so thankful that You've given us the privilege to walk and carry this gospel. You've given us the prison, Lord God, that we can go forth and tell people, Lord God, the truth that makes them free. And Lord God, I know You've called us, and You said You've called us to warn people. You've called us to send out a warning. Hallelujah. Because the time is short. The day is coming of closure. Oh, that we tell people, don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. Don't wait on the love of God. Take it now. Take it now. Hallelujah. Reach out for it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, Lord, how it must break your heart to look at people who don't desire. How, Lord God? Oh, Lord God, we just stand in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we take authority. Devil, get your hands. Get your hands off the church in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off of believers in the name of Jesus. Take those blinding yoke off of some. They blinded. They didn't deceive. But we take authority in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, and we command light to come. Light to come in the name of Jesus. The light again will shine. Lord God, that the choice will come again to them. Lord God, that they will see, hallelujah, which way to turn, that they will know. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, they'll have choice. And Father, we just thank You. Thank You, Lord God. And in the world, we want to thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. You said where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I want to thank You. I want to thank You. Things haven't got ugly enough that You can't change them. Hallelujah. They've not gotten that bad out there. Hallelujah. I want to thank You, Lord God, that the gospel will reach out, Lord God. Lord, it doesn't matter how many people seem to be jumping on the communist bandwagon or the socialist bandwagon. Lord, I can understand it because we've had pretty much a socialist church, and so they think that's the way it's supposed to be. But Lord God, I thank You the glory of the gospel will come on many. Hallelujah. I thank You. You told me personally, this there's a generation that will be reached. This generation will be reached, and Your call will go out, and many will rise up and come. Many will rise up and come. Hallelujah. And they will call on the name of the Lord. Glory to God. We just thank You. Hallelujah. Father, we're living in glorious times. Hallelujah. And we're a glorious people, not because we've done anything, but You've made us glorious. Hallelujah. You've let Your glory fall upon us. And we thank You. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank You that we can stand strong, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I thank You that Your Word is prevailing over us in Jesus' name. Lord God, I want to thank You, Father God. Lord, things may come against us, but those same things that come will go in the name of Jesus. They can't stand us. Devil, you need to understand this. You have no authority over the Church of Jesus Christ. You get your hands off of God's people right now in Jesus' name. Father, I speak life. Hallelujah. And as Jesus said, life more abundantly. Hallelujah. I thank You, full of life. Full of, oh Lord God, full of people, full of power and glory. Oh, oh Lord God, I pray today for these ones here. Strengthened with might by Your Spirit in their inner man. Full of strength. Hallelujah. And power in the glory of God. Hallelujah. I thank You, love prevails in them, Lord God, in the name. They are not turned from the right or to the left. I thank You, they're walking in love, Lord God, and the power of God is working mightily in them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I thank You for the wonderful works of God, signs, wonders, and miracles that will come through them in the name of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified. Hallelujah. And we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, You are so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. And Your mercy does endure forever. Your kindness, Your goodness, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank You for showing it to us. Thank You for not giving us what we deserve. Hallelujah. You gave us the blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're not under the curse anymore. There's no curse upon us. We're the blessed of the Lord. And we thank You, Lord. You did that all through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we declare to You, Lord God, our love and our devotion and our dedication to You and to Your plans and to Your purposes, Lord God, to fulfill them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I preached me happy. And I prayed me pretty happy too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Stay on course. You know, let me say the good piece of wisdom that Kenneth Hagin gave that helped me many times over the years. I learned it to be true. You know, sometimes we go along and we might be asking God about direction of things. And one of the things he said, if you're seriously seeking direction from God, you are. He said, God doesn't say anything. And the reason He doesn't is because you don't need to make a change. You don't change till He tells you to. So you might think, boy, there needs to be a change. Learn to walk the course. Just learn to say, hey, if God, this is one thing, and my confession was, if anybody's going to get a hold of me, it's going to be God. And God will get a hold of me. I've always made this confession. If I get out of the will of God, God will send somebody to say something to me. If He has to send an angel, if He has to send Jesus Himself, or He has to send somebody from another country to come and tell me, He will do it. He'll do whatever it needs to take to make sure I stay in line. He will do whatever. I have no fear of missing. I ain't got no fear of missing it. Because number one, we'll all miss it. We're fallible. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm staying on course.
Amen. Amen.
And God will do everything. Heaven will move. Now, I don't know if it will do it for you. I don't know what you believe about you. But I can just say for me, I know this. Heaven will do everything it can to make sure it stays on course.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you can pick up your own belief, whatever one you want. I'll tell you, that's mine. And I'll tell you what, I had a time that He sent a guy from Mexico to tell me. Hallelujah. See, He will. He'll do for me. Well, I just believe He will. Now, I'm not His favorite kid or anything like that. But see, your faith will bring to pass in you. You'll set the course, not Him. Hallelujah. See, don't ever fear. Don't ever fear about missing it. You will. Don't ever fear about those things. You make sure you make the right confessions. God will keep it. He knows how. He's the one, the good work He started in you, He'll bring it to completion. That's what He's doing for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I get to heaven, it's going to be, Ed, great job. Good job, guy. Hallelujah. You trusted me the end, you knucklehead. But you trusted me. Sometimes I wondered about you, but you trusted me. You always stuck with me. Hallelujah. Is that what you want to hear?
Hallelujah.
You got to come over and say, Ed, boy, you did that one really good. No, I know what it's going to be. You trusted me. That's what He's interested in. Not your perfection. We have His. I've checked mine out. It wasn't that good anyhow. So. My perfection just didn't get it. But His. And that's what we want. We walk by faith in His perfection.
Amen.
It's what I believe He'll do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's what He'll do. Hallelujah. It's what He's going to do. Glory to God. Have a great, glorious new year.